Claire Weatherly was just reaching for a slice of Ruth Miller's second-to-none shoe-fly pie when she heard it, the slow rolling rumble of an approaching storm that threatened to put the kibosh on the treat she'd been hankering for all week. Shielding the plate with her body, she dove her fork into the gooey goodness and—
You did what?
I made some calls, gathered some numbers. There's no comparison.
I didn't tell you to make those calls.
You didn't tell me? Are you kidding me? Poof. The fork in her hand, the pie on her plate, and the feel of the autumn sun on her face were gone. In their place was the whisper of moonlight across the bottom of her comforter and the very real sound of two people arguing in the room across the hall. She willed her eyes to close and her thoughts to return to the food festival that had seemed so real only moments earlier, but she couldn't make it happen. The approaching storm in her dreams had shown its true colors. Rolling onto her back, she stared up at the ceiling and searched for faces to accompany the angry voices, the constant comings and goings in her aunt's century-and-a-half-old Victorian necessitated a gift with names that Claire simply didn't possess. Still, she tried, cycling her way through the various guests who inhabited the rooms around hers. Was it Doug and Kayla Jones? No, those were the honeymooners in room two. Arguing was the furthest thing from their radar. The Grandersons? No, that was the elderly couple in room one, whom Diane had been hosting at the inn every fall for the past 16 years. Sleep was a far higher priority for the Wisconsin duo than fighting. Claire struggled onto her elbow and wiped the sleep from her eyes. Room by room, she mentally moved her way around the second-floor hallway. Was it Melinda Simon, the young public relations executive who checked in along with her boss and his wife? Sure enough, the visual accompaniment to the ever-rising voices in room six took shape in Claire's mind, spewing out a positive identity in short order. Rob Carbel, president of the world-famous Carbel Toys, and his wife Anne had checked into Sleep Heavenly shortly after Claire had returned from work that evening. Friendly enough during dinner, the couple had opted to skip Diane's hot fudge brownies in favor of a long walk along the streets of Heavenly. When they returned some 90 minutes later, they'd seemed happy. Obviously, something had changed since they'd returned from their walk and retired to their room for the night.
But to draft a memo without even talking to me?
Would it have mattered, Rob?
You know as well as I do, the answer to that is no.
You've had nothing but tunnel vision since you and Melinda concocted this idea.
Because it's a good one.
A good one? I think that remains to be seen, don't you? But either way, my plan makes it even better. Lucrative, even.
Does it always have to be about money?
Claire imagined Anne's teeth unclenching long enough to release the laugh that seeped its way underneath her door. Did that just come out of your mouth?
It did.
Stop the presses, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Carbel is questioning whether we need to make a decision based on money. Something resembling a snort was quickly followed by Rob's clipped voice.
Look, I've run this show for nearly 20 years now, and in those 20 years, I've realized more profits than you could have ever dreamed because of the way I do things. So back off.
Back off? Did you just tell me to back off?
Uh-oh.
Claire threw back her comforter and swung her feet over the edge of her bed. People like the Grandersons and the Joneses came to Heavenly, Pennsylvania for the peace and tranquility synonymous with the picturesque Amish town. Awaking to a veritable knock-down, drag-out fight wasn't supposed to be part of the experience.